Are you tired of listening to the same old radio talk show? Did you know that there was a new show on Radio Fairfax called The Jesse Moments? Yes, tune in and listen every Wednesday at 7 p.m. to DJ Mo Speaks as she interviews the movers and shakers from within our communities. Sounds like a good show? You bet. If you want to make every moment majestic, you're going to join us on Majestic Moments, Radio Fairfax. Yes, welcome to another great episode of Majestic Moments. You're live here on Radio Fairfax with DJ Mo Speaks. Tonight we are very, very excited to have with us two very special guests with us, Dr. Kleisha Taylor, who is the President and CEO of American Healthcare Professionals. She brings compassion, leadership, and commitment to the company vision. And in 1994, she worked with the White House on the national healthcare reform, where she completed her internship, and she has over 28 years of experience in the healthcare field. In 1995, she founded American Healthcare Professionals, which is a home health and hospice company in Vienna, Virginia. In 2009, the company's vision expanded to include a comprehensive patient-centric model inclusive of home health, hospice, telehealth, mobile health, global health, and wellness programs. She is the founder of Bless My People Foundation, which provides healthcare solutions to developing countries. She is the editor-in-chief of Healthcare Plus e-magazine, which is a 21st century healthcare magazine. She's earned her Bachelor of Science in Nursing from the College of New Rochelle. She's earned her Master's of Business Administration, specializing in healthcare administration and finance from the University of Connecticut. And she has also received her doctorate of ministry with a specialty in healthcare ministry at the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. And we also hear with David List, Director of Public Affairs and Strategic Planning. We would like to welcome both of our special guests to the show. Welcome to the show and welcome to Majestic Moments.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mo, for having us. And we want to thank the listeners. They're excited to be here.
Yes, we have what appears to be a great show. You have a lot of information for our listeners that will help educate, enlighten, and engage them to learn something and to take positive action in our communities.
Yes, yes, we do. We have a lot to share about healthcare and all that's happening in healthcare, and especially the platform and the model we're trying to bring forth in educating and bringing awareness.
So tell us a little bit about your organization.
Sure. In 1995, prior to me coming, first of all, let me back up a little bit. I spent my entire life in healthcare. I got started when I was 15 in healthcare. I started as a nurse's aide, and then in high school I did an LPN program and then became an RN. And after that, I went off and got my graduate work in healthcare and went off to work at the White House on healthcare reform, because we saw that in healthcare is just so many challenges and folks getting unnecessarily moved out of hospitals too soon, coming back into hospitals. Just so many issues were occurring. So that brought me into to the understanding that home health was going to be a part of a way I was going to go in trying to keep people out of hospitals, trying to keep people out of institutions. So that's how that was birthed in 1995, was to start home health and to bring it into communities.
Excellent. And David is with you today. David, tell us a little bit about what you do.
I'm working with Kleisha and the company primarily with prevention and wellness programs and with mobile health, and also working with the telehealth. They're all sort of interrelated. The idea, as Kleisha said, is to try and help people to become better educated so that they can remain in an independent living status if they're an older person or a younger person, so that a chronic disease, a chronic illness like diabetes or hypertension won't debilitate them.
Okay, great. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will be back with our special guest. If you have any questions at all, we will monitor our Twitter lines. You can tweet us again at Moments. That's M-O-M-I-N-T-S, and we'll be happy to air your questions with our special guest. We'll give him some heads up, though. That's fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. We'll be back right after this.
We're not just another radio station. Well, yeah, we are.
Hi, we're the Jonas Brothers.
If you have diabetes, you know it's something you have to deal with every day. Diabetes is serious, but you can learn to manage it just like I do.
So take care of your diabetes now.
Take steps like eating right and being more physically active.
The National Diabetes Education Program has the scoop at yourdiabetesinfo.org or call 1-888-693-NDEP.
The National Diabetes Education Program, your source for free diabetes information. A message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you hear about the new radio show that interviews the movers and shakers from our community?
I heard they also have a book club and plays the best in music.
Majestic Moments!
That's it! With the DJ who says, make every moment count.
Hello, I'm DJ Mo Speaks. Join me every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Radio Fairfax, where we look to educate, enlighten, and engage you, our listeners.
Special guests in the studio today, Cleisha and David. Welcome back from the break.
Thank you, Mo, and thank you, listeners. It's again very, very, we're very excited to be here. And
Yes, we want to just be able to share with people about healthcare and how they could understand more what's going on in healthcare and new solutions and new innovative ways that healthcare is being done.
So what are some of those ways?
Well, you know, the first thing is why a lot of people want to know what is the necessity of having innovative healthcare. And I think we have to understand first, before we even know what the ways are, why are we in this situation? And I think understanding that in America we have a healthcare crisis. Financially, it's costing about $2.7 trillion in expenses in healthcare. Why? Because we're not really operating in a healthcare system. We're operating in a sick care system. And this is what a lot of people are not aware of, is that by the time we get people coming into the hospitals and people where we're getting them at home care, they're already in an exacerbated stage. They're already in a crisis mode. So what we're looking at is how do we prevent that? And one way we realize is that using innovative technology, for example, telehealth, mobile health, and all of these tools are used to empower people.
And maybe we should define those terms. So by telehealth, we mean, telephone is a basic technology. It's a high-tech instrument and a basic instrument. So it could be like my parents have a device in their home, and so they take their blood pressure. It's connected to a computer, and it's transmitted to a call center, which HCP operates, Clicia, the company operates. And if there's a problem, a nurse will do an intervention. And that means she'll call on the phone. It could be blood pressure. It could be diabetes screening, blood sugar testing, pulse oxygen net levels in the blood. But the idea is to use technologies to assist you with a telephone or something so you can communicate information.
Now, I agree with the both of you. I'm a gadget girl. And, I go to Best Buy and all these places, and they have this thing called the Zayo. Have you heard about that?
Oh, for snoring or sleep apnea.
It didn't advertise it as such, but I agree with you. I thought it was pretty cool for me to see my sleep patterns, even though I've had a sleep study in the past. And it's pretty cool, other than the band that's, you wake up with that band on your, that imprint on in the morning, but it's pretty accurate. Yeah. And I was totally impressed to know, how much I was awake, how many times I woke up in the middle of the night, whether or not I was in deep sleep or light sleep.
Right.
And I just thought I could trick it by just, opening my eye even though I was laying down. And it was accurate.
Right.
So I agree with you. Just things like that.
Well, I think you bring up a good point. A lot of people, as a bedside nurse and even as a home care nurse, one of the things you see people is when you're going out and you're treating them, like people who have chronic conditions is an epidemic in our country. Mm-hmm. People don't even know what a normal blood sugar is or a normal blood pressure is, or what is normal with my sleep, what is normal in my weight. So I think teaching that first and letting people understand that so that they can own it, be able to manage it, prevent, this is the key, is what we're trying to get at. By the time – yes, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to – my parents and – another good illustration of that. My father, he's sort of technophobic, or he was kind of not really looking forward to the idea of taking his blood pressure every day. He didn't like it. He didn't necessarily know what his blood pressure was on a daily basis. But now he takes it every day. And just about a month ago, he noticed it was low. His heart rate was different than what it should be. And so there was an intervention, and my father was able to stay at home and avoid a hospital visit. Mm-hmm. A year and a half before, his blood pressure dropped, and he was hospitalized for a week. And, Clicia, what is the average cost of a hospital visit?
Yeah, an average hospital visit can be anywhere from $1,500 to $5,000, depending on what tests mm-hmm. are going to be done and whether they admit you to rule out for things, so it can get up to $10,000.
A day.
A day.
And I agree with you. A lot of people don't know what the average or normal levels are for cholesterol.
Right, sure.
I'm bragging about my cholesterol.
Good
I'm
for
like,
you.
Hey,
good for you.
And they're like, I don't know mine.
Well, and I think that's normal because most people don't learn this. It's not like learned in primary school. So, and the healthcare professionals, we're always been in the treatment mode. So not much in, even though we claim to be educators. So what we're looking to is empower people by
right.
starting out in the beginning, mm-hmm. educating them, giving them tools like telehealth, You know, it's not the technology is not it's important, but the biggest issue is the objective. What are we trying to do? We're trying to give you back your health. We're trying to let you see patterns. We're trying to let you see what you're eating is affecting this. And when you're eating this causes more problems. When you're not eating this, this isn't the cause. It's exercising. That's what we're looking at trying to do. And as Dave used these examples about his father, this is an example all of us can talk about. Mm-hmm. People with in cancer, people with hypertension or diabetes, they come into us at a point where it's now in a very high level, is exacerbated. We could do much more when we catch it early and, if at all, avoid it altogether.
Other than education, what do you think is the biggest contributors to the increase that we're starting to see with these ailments that folks are having these days?
Well, I think that the advantage is that technology is great because it's letting people live longer. People are living longer now than they used to live. So because of our technology, but in the same token, because they haven't managed their bodies well, they have these chronic conditions because they didn't know that certain things and certain foods and certain ways they've been living. And genetics is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. Family history. A lot of people, I know a girl, she didn't know she had a cholesterol problem, and her mother had kept it a secret for 40 years that she had a problem until she had blockages.
In some communities, too, we do a lot of work with the Hispanic community, for example, and many people in the Hispanic community won't go to a doctor unless they're sick. And in many communities, people don't look at a doctor as something they need to consider until they have a physical symptom. And often when you have a physical, by the time you have a physical symptom, it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing about like with telehealth, and you know, and as Dave was kind of elaborating on it, we found that when we give people devices that we can monitor them, it's like having a nurse on site in your house 24/7. You take your blood pressure and a nurse can see the results immediately and she can intervene. And we have reduced readmissions to hospitals by 80% by this technology. So not only a cost saving, most people don't want to go into hospitals because when they get in the hospital, other problems occur. So again, I think if you ask anyone, most people want to stay in their homes. So I think using the telehealth has been one of the innovative solutions that we're using, that we're seeing wonderful results. The key is simple, making them simple, not being too high tech. Most seniors can't understand that and use it.
And I understand we're going to talk more about telehealth as well as mobile health a little bit later in the show. Mm-hmm. But those are two things to really look forward to if you're interested in today's topic. We do have two of our wonderful guests, Kalisha and David, who is here with us today from America Healthcare Professionals. And we are taking your questions. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions or any stories that you want to share, feel free to tweet us at Moments. That's M-O-M-I-N-T-S. We're going to take another quick break, but when we return, we're going to continue on with the show with some of this good information that you're providing our community. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Will you stay with us?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We're excited.
Choose radio. Choose a big stereo. Choose loudspeakers, car hi-fi, compact disc players, and electrical antennas. Choose sitting on that couch listening to mind-numbing, spirit-crushing commercial radio shows. I chose something else. And the reasons? There are no reasons. Who needs reasons when you've got Fairfax County's own freeform radio station that's always commercial-free? It's your station. Use it.
What if it wasn't always about getting ahead? What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? What if your career goals were to change? Instead of flying off to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? To embark on a different track. To volunteer in ways you never dreamed of, in places you never imagined yourself being. Like a tiny island in the Pacific, barely visible on a map, but where needs are easy to see. Or a village on the African continent, where just a little training in HIV awareness can change the fate of thousands. What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
are listening to Majestic Moments live on Radio Fairfax. I am with my two special guests who are here with us this evening from American Healthcare Professionals. Welcome back from the break, Cleisha and David. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
So yes. I understand that you have a book or something like a book for our book club members that are interested.
Yes, I do. What I have is a book that I wrote. It's called Implementing Prevention and Wellness in Faith-Based Communities for Individual Education and Community Workshops. And, you know, how it came about was, again, as a clinician, you know, we're always looking at how to do healthcare better. And part of it is working within faith-based communities to improve education on prevention. There's a lot of statistics that come out that out of the 10 states with the largest case of obesity, 8 of them are Bible belts.
Oh, wow.
States. And turns out, you know, Christians are packing on pounds. Christians are causing a lot of have a lot of healthcare issues, and a lot of it just has to deal with not having education.
And one other thing that's come up, like I do some work with some Catholic priests, and that some people will talk about how they don't need to take care of their vessel here, meaning their bodies, because they're concerned about the next part of their journey.
Mm, okay.
And so the whole idea was when I was writing the thesis is to make an instrument or a tool and a program that would be effectual in faith-based communities. And so this came out, and what we call it is CARE. It's community action, church action equals responsibility empowerment. And through that is what we have created, and we've implemented it in faith-based communities and have had amazing outcomes, wow. Transformed lives. Lives have been saved. Dave will probably speak more to it because he's been really active in doing a lot of case studies on what we've been finding.
Well, there's a couple of different ways that this goes. One is in the context of a church as a whole. So it may be that we've done some screenings with a main part of a church. We've also done federal agencies, but we've done over 50 different screenings at this point with when screened about 1,200 people. And in each screening that we've done, we've identified 6 to 8 people that were high-risk individuals. And so that means that in the year or year and a half that we've been doing this, we've identified about 400 people that were high-risk that our intervention, I don't want to say it saved their life, but in some way we hope that it's we've been able to refer them to places where they can get more thorough care, or we've caused something where they've changed their behavior.
And how did you do this?
Yeah, we have teams. We call it WEN teams, which is called Wellness Improvement Network. And the individuals that are could be clinical, they could be non-clinical that are trained, they go out, and we also try to empower church members to learn. And we have these screenings, and you know, we do blood pressure, blood sugar, pulse ox, weights, body mass index, and we give lessons on wellness. We call those GLOW sessions. And through all of this, we meet with, you know, these community, these churches and these faith-based communities, and we are able to educate them. And again, I mean, a great story is was a gentleman who was coming to us. He was in his 70s. He had a very high blood sugar. He was picked up in a screening session, and he was just so overwhelmed by it. And he had waited in line to get screened. And, you know, maybe 2 months later, he came back and he says, you know, we taught him things after we got the screening and his high reading is high, you know, he's very high risk. We taught him, things he needed to do to change his life. And he started to do that. And he spoke later and said, you know, when he came back, he says, you know, I did everything you guys told me. I started exercising. I changed how I was eating. And we did his blood sugar. And originally it was like, say, 300-400, mm. which is a very high reading because the normal is between 80 to, 110, and his was like I said, about 400. He came back and it was 115.
Wow.
Because he had changed his life, you know, changed the way he ate, changed the way he was doing things. And he was so excited and he was so encouraged. I mean, he wept, he cried. And it's just stories like that we can go on day and night about just how people, because they just don't know, and once they learn, it just transforms their lives and keeps them out of hospital. You know, data-wise, we've kept about 38% of people out of hospital that probably would end at a hospital.
I mean, and one of the things I'm proud of about the work that we do is that it's not a one-shot deal and we're gone and we're never coming back. We go back. And like Cleisha said, we see people, and they're by virtue of the fact that we're going back, mm-hmm. it develops some kind of a sense of accountability, too, to themselves and a bit to us. when we see people that have lost weight or dropped blood sugar or in some way are more cognizant about what they eat or how they're eating?
We saw in one church that we were working with, we were going in there and doing the screenings, and they were so encouraged by this. They got a grant. They got a grant from the county, Fairfax County, and to continue the program so that we can continually finance it. And it's now we're doing more sites than ever, but we're doing like five, six a month. So it's remarkable. There's another story I think of when we did a screening. We did we had a company called Lifeline screening come in and do aneurysm checks on some clients, and we have a testimony on our YouTube of one of the people that came in, and she was discovered in the screen, and she had an aneurysm the verge of rupturing, and not only one, it was two.
Wow.
And that was picked up in a screening. So her life was saved, and she's very emotional about when she shares that. Had she not gone to the screening at the faith-based community, and she says, the reason I went is because my pastor opened his invitation to come and look and take care of your health. And she came, and as a result, it saved her life, and she's very open. And so, like I said, on our website, we have a video of it.
And speaking of which, can you tell everyone what your website is?
Oh, sure. It's ahcpnetwork.com. And that website we also have a YouTube channel, which is AHCP Network as well. And we also have Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at AHCP Wins. So we have multiple sites that, you know, not only is it information about, you know, the success testimonies and stories, but instruments and tools and resources for people to use.
Excellent, excellent. So this dissertation that you completed,
yes,
encompasses everything about the faith-based programs.
Yes.
And you said you wanted to mention something about telehealth.
Yes, one of the things as far as mobile health and telehealth, that part of the dissertation is, again, we're implementing technology. We're putting actually kiosk in faith-based communities so people can go in like an ATM machine.
Wow.
You can go into a faith-based community, because any community people are gathered, there's a large amount of people. You can go in and you can get on a scale, and a nurse can, you know, get your readings over, you know, remotely, and you could do your blood pressure. Again, why we want people to become empowered. So we're using the telehealth and different sources to try to keep people connected.
And I'm just curious, do you have like nutritional workshops?
Absolutely,
and
yes.
Like that?
We have dietitians that come in. We have doctors that come in and speak. You know, all of that is inject, and that's considered, like I said, the GLOW sessions, giving lessons on wellness, so that, you know, in addition to doing screenings, we have to empower people by teaching them. Mm-hmm. So we do have educational components.
That's excellent. Excellent.
And they could be done. They're webinars. So if you can't go to the session, you can come online and watch a live webinar of it.
And you are based out of Fairfax.
Yeah, we're in Vienna.
Okay.
Vienna, Virginia, right in Tysons, 8500 Leesburg Pike.
Okay. That's right off of Route 7.
Right off of Route 7, yes.
If you aren't aware, or maybe you're in traffic
listening.
Yes,
we're right there in the middle.
Stop by.
Anytime.
And again, it looks like your website is www.ahcpofva, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So that's ahcpofva.com. And that stands for?
American Healthcare Professionals of Virginia.
Okay, so if you Google American Healthcare Professionals of Virginia, if you can't remember the acronyms, just go ahead and plug it in, and
yes,
you'll see it pop right on up. And what inspired you to pick this particular topic for your dissertation?
I think because I've been in healthcare for 27 years. I started at 2. So and as a healthcare person, seeing the frustration, seeing lost lives unnecessarily. You know, most of us in healthcare say we got to do things different. And so for us, from our heart, is prevention is the key. And
right,
we're happy with the government is catching up with the Affordable Care Act, which prevention is a huge part of the platform. Telehealth, telemedicine is a huge part of the platform, meaning that insurance companies are going to reimburse for this. This is part of the government saying, hey, we're not going to treat people when you're sick. We're going to now put monies into keeping people from being sick.
Mm.
So this is exciting. It just came out in the last year and a half.
Okay. And
what other exciting things do now? You guys travel, obviously, right?
Yes, with the Global Health.
And we're going to talk a little bit about some upcoming events and things, but where can people find you locally?
Yeah.
Outside of the office.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're out there because we're a community-based organization. And again, our real primary purpose is home health care.
Okay.
So we're out doing community health all the time. People can, you know, contact us, you know, by email, by phone, American Healthcare Professionals. They can Google us, you know, our phone number is 1-888-515-AHCP, 1-888-515-AHCP, then contact us, and we're always available. We're 24/7. So they can communicate. A lot of it requires them contacting us and asking questions. You're not going to necessarily know what you want. You got to tell us your situation.
Right.
And we're there for them for that.
Right. And those success stories are on YouTube. And we could certainly punch in the name.
Yes.
And to find those videos and get those testimonials.
Yes.
That's awesome. Now, I know you touched a little bit on telehealth, but tell us a little bit about mobile health.
Yeah. Mobile health, which we have found, and especially again, the main reason, again, with telehealth and mobile health is access, is giving people access. So mobile health, everyone has mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, says that mobile health is going to be going to be used as a breakthrough for our healthcare challenges in the United States because most people have a mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
So what we created was application, and one of the applications we have is called eVitals. It's called Emotional Vital Signs.
Mm.
And we use that for people with mental illness. So if people have just got out of hospital or someone suffering with depression or an anxiety and they're having reactions to medication, usually we would get them in the hospital because they stopped taking their medication. They've come into an exacerbated or worsened stage. Well, with mobile health, we're asking a series of questions that are connected to a live nurse so that we can triage it or we can monitor these, you know, exacerbation so that we can then intervene before it turns into a crisis and they end up going to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one of our application. And then we have another one.
One other thing about that is that one of the interesting parts about the app is that it can be used by the individual or it can be used by a person for an individual.
Yes.
So a caregiver.
Okay.
For example, if most people who are 70 may not have an iPhone or a mobile Droid, their son or their daughters can use it and answer the questions and say, I noticed mom is not eating and mom's not sleeping. So it can be a third party who's answering the questions.
What is the percentage of people for readmissions that's due to anxiety or depression?
I think mental illness is data saying that about 40% of readmissions. Now, remember, readmissions across in this country about $16 billion annually. So about 40% is due to mental illness. And so this is a tool, again, that we use to keep people out of hospitals by empowering them and understanding what's going on before it gets become a problem.
It just seems like to me that there are growing numbers of people that have mental issues mm-hmm. today and other ailments like
right.
bipolar, you know, just different
right.
disorders. Is that a misnomer? I mean, has it always been like that, or is it becoming a growing problem?
I think that's a great question because I think it's always been there, but people don't talk about it,
mm-hmm.
and it's always been kind of kept under the – it's different. You can see a broken leg,
mm-hmm.
and you can understand that. You put a cast on it, but it's very hard to understand mental illness. It's very hard to understand that, and we all think, oh, they should snap out of it. My background is I'm a mental health nurse. And that's, you know, where my heart has always been is to really educate people about how stress and other components can even, like I said, again, genetics could create so much of the mental illness issues that create physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry.
You get excited.
Also,
with
the elderly, you know, or certain populations of people, they don't believe in mental illness. And so it's going to be up to a family member, a caregiver, someone in the community, or maybe a hospital admission before there's some kind of recognition or diagnosis or admitting that there is a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm. And a good example would be we had a client that was on telehealth, and her blood pressure was, you know, normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. Hers was like, you know, 240 over 120. And
wow.
We could not figure out, you know, what was causing this. And the nurse kept intervening and finally went over and did a home visit. And it turned out she had anxiety. And the doctors were able to put her on a mild anti-anxiety medication, brought her blood pressure down to 130 over 70, just from a mild anti-anxiety medication.
But when she went to the home, what was causing anxiety?
Because she's now left her prior home and moved to another community.
Okay.
And it was a change. You know, a lot of people don't understand grief and that goes with moving out of your prior home to a new home. Mm-hmm. So this anxiety was an issue. The anti-anxiety meds help, in addition to talking to people about it, being aware of what was going on. And as a result, again, this woman was in and out of hospital. And she has not been, it's over a year and a half, she's not been back in the hospital. There's a testimony of her on our YouTube video of her, you know, success story. She's not been in the hospital in over a year and a half since we've discovered that problem.
Excellent. Yeah. That's absolutely
so
excellent.
She's excited and we're excited.
Wow.
You know.
Okay.
And another mobile app we have is called Moms. It's called Mothers on Mobile Health. And we deal with a lot that is used a lot, especially in the global health market, for women who are pregnant that have hard times getting to, or new mothers getting access to health care. They could answer a series of questions on the mobile phone, like, you know, are you having any bleeding, any cramping, any difficulty in different areas? And then we can actually, again, treat them via mobile, treatment through the questionnaire.
Now, let me ask a question that probably some of our listeners have. If I have health insurance, am I allowed or am I capable to use your services?
That's a great question. Yes and no. So, yes, that's the best thing is, the first thing is, I think, to reach out to us and then we assess it. A lot of insurance does pay for this.
Okay. Like the testing and
exactly.
EKGs and things
right.
like that.
And again, these are tools that we use to help get a better outcome for a person than just doing traditional coming home, putting a bandage on you and call it in a day. We're giving you tools to empower you so you can own it and manage it.
And I was pretty surprised as a young, so-called young person. I'm a Generation Xer. I'm not young anymore. But a lot of my colleagues and friends, they go to the doctor, they get a test done, but they don't have a copy of it.
Right. Well, okay.
And then we change our doctors all the time. But yet you could go to Best Buy. Shout out to Best Buy in Ashburn. You go to Best Buy and you swipe your card and everything you've purchased is on your phone.
Okay. So you're getting an exclusive release right here. We actually have creating what you call a wellness mobile app where all of your information.
I'm psychic.
We're going to release it now because we're in the beta stages of it, having an application that you would know when you had your last tetanus. This is the problem we have too as a nurse. When was your last tetanus? I don't know. So we give you another shot.
I had a mammogram. I can't remember. Yeah, and I don't have the test because it was done through my job. But you think it'd be easy to go through my job and get it, but it's not because they switch doctors and takes forever.
Right.
So it's just, you know.
Coming soon. You're going to have it on your cell phone where
That's
you can
awesome.
Actually access your health records.
And this is another thing we're doing to help control health care costs in the country.
Yes.
Because, you know, you
makes
you,
sense.
It does.
It makes sense. It does make sense.
I can't keep up with my oil changes, but hey.
Yes. Keep you from getting a duplicate test. That's
exactly. That costs money, and that's a waste of money.
Well, and the banking industry does this very well. You can look on your mobile phone or your computer, and you can see all your banking transactions. Healthcare is.
I got a problem, Kleisha. It doesn't say that I have $1 million back.
This is a.
They have to fix that.
A lot of people have that problem.
They have to fix that.
We'll work on that.
Well, with that said, we're going to go to a quick music break. And when we come back, we'll take your questions if you have those. And I know a lot of folks are visiting your website right now. So let's repeat to everyone what that website is.
Yes, it would be ahcpofva.com or they can do ahcp.network.
Okay.
ahcpnetwork.com. Sorry.
Okay, or American Healthcare Professionals.
Yes.
You can certainly Google that, and the phone number that you provided earlier is toll-free. It's 1-888-515-AHCP or 2427.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
So we'll be
Great.
Right back after this. We'll be right back.
got some pictures on my phone, new names and numbers that I don't know. I dress to places like I've been rotating turns tonight, not turns to whatever we want. We're young enough to say, oh, this has gotta be a good life. This has gotta be a good life. This could really be a good life, good life. I say, oh, this feeling that you can't fight. This city is a fire tonight. This could really be a good life, a good, good life. To my friends in New York, I say hello. My friends in LA, they don't know where I've been for the past few years or so. Paris to China to Colorado. Sometimes there's airplanes I can't jump out. Sometimes there's bullshit that don't work. Now we have got our stories, but please tell me what there's to complain about. When you're happy like a fool, you let it take you over. When everything is out, you gotta take it in. Now, 'cause hopelessly, the hopeless we have so much to feel good about. Oh, this has gotta be a good life. This has gotta be a good life. This could really be a good life, good life. I say, oh, this feeling that you can't fight. The city is a fire tonight. This could really be a good life, a good, good life. There's to complain about.
You are listening to Majestic Moments here live on Radio Fairfax with DJ Mo Speaks and my special guests from the American Healthcare Professionals, Cleisha and David. Welcome back from the music break.
Pleasure to be
Thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be back.
It's good to be back and hear about how we can educate ourselves about our health and all that you do, all the great work that you do. I know we talked a little bit about telehealth and mobile health, but tell us about the effect of chronic conditions and a little bit more about mental health.
Yeah, I think they go together, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the strength of mental illness and, you know, mental health really has an impact on chronic conditions. Think about it. If you're stressed, you're not eating well, or you're overeating, if you're going through depression, you know, there's a chance that you're not you may be drinking, smoking. All of that causes hypertension. That also causes chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. All of these things add to chronic conditions because of stress. We live in a very stressful society, and one of the things we need to teach and for people is to learn how to manage their stress. And
another issue is sort of access to care, and you know, Hispanic, African American communities have chronic health conditions at a higher rate than the population as a whole. For example, African Americans and Hispanics have a rate of diabetes about two times the rate of the general population.
Yeah, and if you look at when we're doing these prevention wellness screenings, and a lot of them are working with the underserved communities, the minority communities, we're finding that them when we're talking to them when their blood pressure is high and their blood sugar is high, a big issue has to do with stress, financial, economics, you know, all of those things have to deal with stress. And that's one of the biggest issues, one of the biggest things we're teaching them is how to cope with that and how to deal with that. And we do in our workshops, our given lessons on wellness is stress management. Again, reducing stress levels, reducing mental health issues will certainly reduce chronic conditions. And that's known. That's factual.
And we were just talking at the break about how stress leads to other ailments.
Yes.
And how we need to take action on that. And we were talking about my tight shoulders. In fact, I don't mind sharing.
We're giving a massage.
But I'm
now.
Aware of it. I'm aware of it, and I'm taking proactive actions to alleviate some of the symptoms. But you're from a mental health background. Yes. It might be just something I'm doing every day that my body just doesn't agree with.
Absolutely. It's ways that we learn to cope and the ways we deal with stress in our day-to-day operations. You know, especially you think of Northern Virginia traffic. You know, the things that add to pressure our economic situation in America, people are stressed out of jobs, they're losing their homes, their children they're worried about. There are so many issues, and you can't just sweep them under the carpet. It needs to be first educated on what the symptoms are and then treat people on how to manage it.
And not to mention diet, exercise, and
absolutely.
Movement.
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't exercise because they're so stressed, and that becomes this vicious cycle. And exercise and relieve stress. So that's very important, Dave. What you're
now,
saying.
I'm a reality show girl. I'll admit that. When I can find the time, I like to look at other people's problems. and I was watching I'm not even going to say the show, but anyway, I'm almost embarrassed. But anyway, they were talking about, one of them was complaining about having a sleeping disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a sleep study conducted, and they are trying to test and find out why he's doing a particular movement, which is pretty much battering his wife with his left arm. Yeah. But they're trying to figure out what that is. It's not his breathing. It's something mental that's happening that maybe he's reoccurring in his sleep or whatever. But that's just a perfect example of recognizing as an individual what's happening with us. I know some signs of poor health is our teeth.
Yeah.
And you know, those are just other aspects of it. But it's nice to hear a show like this where we could help someone listening to become better educated about what's out
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, Mo. Absolutely. You said it very well, because I think it's educating and bringing an awareness. We're in a campaign to get people to understand how to take care of their vessels and their bodies.
And the one important thing to understand is that the first symptom of most of these chronic diseases or any disease is no symptom at all. I have I know of a family. The husband was a construction worker. They had three kids, and he had a stroke, and then a week later he died because he had hypertension, and he had no understanding that he had any kind of blood pressure problem at all. He was physically feeling healthy.
Yes.
And that's an example of my neighbor in Long Island, New York. He just died one day, but he looked stressed.
Right.
You know, didn't eat right at all.
Well, you know, like, you know, hypertension, silent killer, and a lot of it deals with stress and a lot of pent up emotions that are just not been learned how to take out.
Or, I mean, one thing that Klesha did for, there's a man, he works in maintenance in our building, and he was having some difficulties with his medication, his blood pressure.
Right. And I think, Dave, that brings up a really important point, is medication. People are not educated about how to take medication, and doctors have a tendency to repeat medications or add different medications that do the same things. And again, what had happened with this gentleman, he had was on 8 blood pressure medicines.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was so sick. And his blood pressure was still sky high. And he has insurance. He went to his doctor and, you know, and he was just couldn't even work. And so what we started to do is I advocated for him. I called his doctor. We monitor his blood pressure. It turned out he had had several mini strokes and never even understood
oh
he had them, because the doctor
apparently there was a language barrier. He didn't realize he had had many strokes.
Oh my goodness.
So through all that, we were able to teach him how to manage his medication, and we got his blood pressure down, and he's doing great.
Wow, great I'm glad story. To hear that. That's a good way to wrap up our show. We've come to the end of our show, and it's so unfortunate. We have to have you both back sometime near future, because I understand you have an array of topics that will really enlighten, engage, and educate our listening audience. And I'm sure everyone coming home from work was really getting an earful tonight, especially with the background that you have and the value of information that you have to our listeners is incredible. So we thank you for that.
Well, we thank you, Mo. We're
so real pleasure.
We're so thankful for you to have this opportunity for us to come on the show and share, and this program you have is just a wonderful program for the community. So thank you.
Well, what we would like to do is have you help wrap up the show tonight to share with those that may have come in midway or midstream, as we like to call it, and basically tell them the topics that we've covered so that when they have an opportunity to check out our blog spot, they'll have a chance to listen to it again. So give us a quick wrap-up. And obviously, when you start hearing that music, you know that we're almost at the end. So I just thought I'd give you a little warning.
Well, I think everything has grown from Gleisha's experience with people and the problems that people have as a result of not managing chronic health conditions. And that what we're looking to do is to empower people to better manage their health in general, and to prevent and manage chronic health conditions like diabetes, hypertension, and considerations like that. One thing we do have also is we have a health newsletter. Now, we just increased our circulation to 80,000 people. It's in Spanish and in English and other language we can discuss.
All right. That's awesome. And do you have any upcoming events that we should notify folks about?
Every Saturday we're at United Methodist Church, various different ones. We do keep them on our website so people can see when we're doing screenings. We post on our website upcoming screenings and various communities. So those are the big events that come up, and they're every Saturday pretty much.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much,
you.
Both of you, for taking time out of your busy schedules to share a moment with our listeners. And we, again, would like to have you back on the show. So let's schedule that before you leave tonight.
Be great.
We would love to. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And I'd like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in for another episode of Majestic Moments. We hope we made this moment majestic, and we look forward to seeing and hearing from you again. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back next week.